biggest opportunity from a design perspective is to create change.
Welcome to Good, Good, Great. My name is Al Shaybani. In this podcast, we talk with the people behind the ideas, businesses, and brands working to improve the world around them. The first industry we talk about is one of the most polluting on the planet, fashion. Whether we see ourselves as fashionable or not, it's something we come into contact with every day. We're going to be speaking to the people at the forefront of this industry about their experiences, the issues they've come across, and how their work is trying to improve it. In his book, The Responsible Company, Patagonia's founder, Yvonne Chouinard, says that 90% of a product's environmental impact is determined at the design stage. The decisions we make at this point in the life of a piece of clothing have huge implications on the impact it will have on the world. From the materials we pick to the processes we choose for manufacturing it, designers have an integral part in creating a responsible product. When we thought about who we could talk to, I went back to a conversation I had with my friend Rosie, who introduced me to Parley. Parley is a nonprofit organization that brings creators, leaders, and thinkers together to raise awareness around the beauty and fragility of our oceans. They've done some great projects and introduced strategies that aim to eliminate plastics in the oceans altogether. One of their ambassadors is Alexander Taylor, a designer who's pushing the envelope when it comes to materials and the design process. In 2015, Alexander and his team made shoes from illegal fishing nets to showcase the alliance between Parley and Adidas. He'll tell us more about that later. Alexander has the air of a professor about him. He is thoughtful and kind and approaches challenges with practicality and precision. When I sat down with him, he started by sharing how his experience in furniture design informed his approach to shoe design.
Yeah, I started off from a furniture design perspective, never really kind of having a central focus on one perspective, but having a kind of like an open, very open mind and opinion on many different kind of perspectives of the industry. And maybe that's why I end up here as well today where I am. My job as a designer, I believe, is to look at a scenario and to say, what's on the table? And then can I offer an alternative? And that if I am going to offer an alternative, there has to be some level of improvement and there has to be some level of moving forward. We were taken into a factory and shown how footwear was made. And you see all the different steps and processes and all of the different parts and pieces. And then you'd say, okay, well, how can we rationalize that down to one or two different steps? I like the idea of simplicity. I like the idea of stripping back and using the minimum amount of material to the maximum effect, essentially. That's the goal and the ambition. And so we looked at that and you'd say, okay, well, it takes 15, 20 different parts and pieces to make up a shoe. This was back in 2007. I would look at it. Some of the work I'd done in furniture was like using one piece of material to make a lamp or to make a chair or whatever it may be. And says, okay, can we break that process down and make it in one piece of material or one process? And that's how my collaboration with Adidas started. We kind of looked at knitting as a technology. Technology was kind of advancing. And the case in point that you could knit essentially the upper part of the shoe in one piece. So, okay, let's start with that. We come off one machine and then apply it to, and you've got a shoe, the transition. But it's like, let's just look at what we have in front of us, and from a design perspective, how do we simplify that as much as possible and then apply it?
Well, how would you describe Parley in your own words, if someone has never heard of them?
For me, Parley represents a collaborative force, bringing together creative minds, because creative minds have this ability to instigate change, to not conform, and to understand and to rebel, essentially, against certain parts of the system. And to from a one perspective is to, you know, have the ability to visualize that. And another one is to kind of like influence and instigate that change. And so they you know, Cyril and Parley have created this kind of this body that that encapsulates that kind of that ambition. And they kind of... they, you know, it's clear to see the kind of the impact that that's had.
What was the brief for that one, for Parley Adidas?
The Parley, that came about because we have ongoing research programs and the Adidas strategy and design team were given a task to create a pair of shoes for Eric Liedtke to announce the collaboration between Parley and Adidas back in the UN in 2015. Mm-hmm. And they needed, they needed a pair of shoes to present and to announce that collaboration between the two, between Parley and Adidas. And so we were the guys in Adidas and Parley gave the studio a call and offered that. Well, didn't offer, but they asked if we would be interested in designing this pair of shoes with, to be used for the announcement. And it was 8 days away, basically. And that was the kind of the bit that they left at the end. It was like, okay, this is in 8 days' time. We need this pair of shoes to announce the collaboration in the UN. And that was really like, that was the one of the best moments for me in my design career, to have the opportunity to react and to put into practice the way in which, not only the way in which we work, but that was like the best possible illustration of collaboration on all levels and network. This kind of open source mentality that you can kind of work with different people as well and tap into different resources. So that was it. That project was kind of like a real kind of coming together of all the different people to make it happen, which was amazing.
And designing something that someone is going to wear.
Yeah.
What are the questions that you ask yourself when you're starting that process? As a designer, I guess.
We always take the approach from a writing a brief from a functionality perspective. But then, of course, you have to have a connection with the material, and it's very much a material story. And then understanding how a material works and understanding how you work with different materials and how they... That's been a big learning with this the new project that we're doing from a studio perspective.
Can you talk about the project?
Yeah, it's the most exciting thing at the moment. We met with a factory in Asia that were creating some of the best outdoor gear in the world for some of the top brands. A factory called KTC. And they invited us as a studio to collaborate on a project. We didn't know what it was going to be. We had no idea how it would start. But we knew, obviously, it was from an apparel perspective. And so it took us into something new because we're always kind of looking for those kind of opportunities. So we went over there, we visited, and we looked around the factory and it became evident that we wanted to work together, but we had to find a kind of a reason. Obviously, with a lot of the work that we've done previously, it goes without saying that for all the right reasons, had to be sustainable in the best possible way that it could be, and it had to also enable us to learn and give us an opportunity to create essentially. So we spent a couple of days there in China and in the factory and realized how much dead stock material that they had, and at that point, obviously entered conversations about how much waste and kind of end of line and excess material that there is, not only from a factory perspective, but also the waste kind of story when it comes to fashion in general and products can go into anything. And so we wanted to kind of tap into that material. It's not necessarily new in a way to kind of be associated with a dead stock story, but we were keen to ensure that we didn't make new materials when you don't need to make new materials, and ensure that then also it gave us a brief. We had an array of materials to work from. We didn't know how different materials react when designing for something that's going to go on the body. So how do you work with 1, 2, 3 layer ply shell material, and then the next minute you have something which is maybe a kind of a super lightweight ripstop for a down jacket or a Primaloft jacket or something like that. So you're kind of coming up with different materials, different makes up, from nylons, polyesters, whatever they may be, and then you're immediately faced with the idea that you've got to create a silhouette or a garment that kind of is both functional and comfortable and usable and looks good at the end of the day. And so that's where we had the big learning, because we haven't done that before. In the same way I hadn't designed a pair of shoes when I started designing a pair of shoes, but I was keen to find out. And then you go through the process. You you have that exchange, and then the first round doesn't work and it looks terrible, and you have the return, and it's like, oh man, what are we doing? Why did we start this project? But it's like, okay, well, now what tools do we need to make this project a success? So you hire the best people, and you can say, okay, we need a fashion, we need a pattern cutter, we need seamstress, we need we need the right people on board that are going to give us the tools, and you build a network of collaborators.
And I think that network of collaborators is also sort of what Parley is about as well, and bring people together. Do you think there is an area that designers are blind to or not looking at when going into their process right now? Not thinking about enough?
My main concern is that the design. I think the designers and design talent and curiosity is there. It's the more that the system doesn't allow for it. You don't enable change. Change isn't easy because you especially when you're talking about fashion is kind of sustainability just don't go together for so many different reasons, because you know you have demands of seasons, and you have demands of consumers, and you have demands now of content, of social media content, you have demands of kind of what's next, and so from a designer's perspective, you sit there and you're offered you've got to come up with something new, and then something new can't be done overnight. Hmm. And it can't be done in 1 week, and it can't be done in 1 month, and it can't be done in 6 months. We have to, as designers, you have to be in a position where you try and put yourself in control and command of that, and ensure that you're rigorous enough to either insist on change or work in a way which is incremental. For example, if something is produced in the millions, then to change by 1% is a good thing, let's face it. Yeah. And we can't all change everything overnight, but we can all make a small difference and a small change. So that's one way to look at it. It's very difficult to change. And sometimes the problem with change is also it kind of somehow has a potential to create new problems. And then therefore mm-hmm. we need to solve those new problems as well as we go along. And so well, you solve one problem, you create another problem. So, okay, well, those have to be managed. And so therefore it is smarter in a way to do it step by step. So we understand what's the best way forward, because to change everything overnight is too big a deal. It's too big a problem. There's so many different ways in which you can make change.
In that example, looking at the manufacturing process of the shoe, you're coming at it from a design angle and design perspective and the furniture industry background. Have you ever come across a scenario where you've got this response of, well, that's just how things are done. This is the way that things are done in this process, in this industry, and sort of that resistance to change.
Yeah, I mean, there's always resistance to change for many different reasons. There's the normality of the design process that everyone's used to. To offer a change within that is disruptive. From different levels, from a supply chain perspective, from a design perspective. And then ultimately, from a visual perspective, potentially you can end up with something which is aesthetically looking different or behaving or performing different. You know, from knitting, when we first knitted the first upper or first shoe, you're taking 45 minutes on one machine that they don't own and is not in the supply chain to make one shoe, as opeed to, you know, 6 or 7 minutes to make a shoe in a supply chain that exists. Is just not commercially viable. You come up against resistance in that side of things, just from a pure business mechanics perspective. Okay, it's just too long to make a product, which you understand, and you step back and say, okay, but if we make it and we kind of like, we work with the guys that are making the machines, or we work with the supply chain that exists, to develop the yarns or to develop the technology to enable it to happen, then we can anticipate in the future that this can be real, you know? From a designer's perspective, you have to believe. Once we have a focus on any project we're doing, we ordinarily have a belief that we're working in the right direction. And then the designer's role is to be the salesman. You've got to be the salesman as well as the designer to convince people and to never give up. And that's the whole... You know, that's a big part of the challenge, but it's also, it's what designers have to do and they have to remember. It's like that, you know, if you really believe in something and something is really there to be developed and to make a difference, you have to keep sticking at it. You have to push it, and you have to push it. And that's very much what we do. With doing that, with working in that way, what we didn't anticipate were all of the different opportunities that would come from it once started the project. You know, you open up opportunity to own different parts of the design process, and also to question different parts of the design. Like I say, there's the supply chain. Okay, where from a brand perspective, where are materials being bought from? Can we start to develop our own materials? Then, therefore, you can start to work with different partners. You can start to tap into different supply chains. You can start to react and create more capsule opportunity to create product which will tell a story, or to also start and instigate, you know, like the Parley project that, mm-hmm. that was created. You can start to create opportunity out of working in that way. We made the first knitted shoes, or the first shoes, the prime knit that Ali did, were launched. They were made back in Germany. And so therefore you look at business, the kind of like opportunity to make locally. So you're having different investment and different business strategy and working on a local capacity, for example. So we didn't imagine when we kind of first started talking about that project that you would be having those conversations, and that conversation can then lend itself to it, and is evident in every project that we do. Really, once you open that box and open the opportunity of working in a way, in essence, by making the product and working by making, you start to have conversations, and those conversations always lead to something.
I think in those conversations, a lot of the time, the word innovation gets thrown around. What's real innovation for you?
Innovation can be just such a simple thought that makes such a huge difference, especially over scale. I see quite a lot where you have like an innovation facility and they're kind of like sitting there in isolation to the reality of kind of consumer and product and brand or whatever it may be. But they're an innovation center, and they're kind of like coming up with new ideas and new ways of making materials and new machines to make materials and to make product. But they're totally disconnected to what industry either needs or the consumer needs, or you know, from a performance benefit or something like that. And then designers have to work with that, because it's like an innovation that's been 10 years in the making and millions have been spent on it. You've got to work with that innovation. Well, actually, it's like the wrong way around. You know, innovation should be driven through kind of need. It should be driven through real problems that present themselves, and then you try and find the best solution. And so it should be the mindset where it's innovation can be, it doesn't have to be all about machines and budgets. It really can be about conversation and being open and like I say, relying and being open enough to rely on collaboration. Like, innovation is like, I'm not an expert in anything. I don't think I'm an expert in anything, but I kind of have a general knowledge and perspective on a lot of things, and I know a lot of people are experts, and then you get those experts together and you create magic. Well, you know, there's some innovation in thinking in a particular way. It doesn't have to be a physical thing.
And I think part of that is, if you're saying innovation is should be more about listening to the need and listening to the consumers and what that is, it's more radical. What piece of advice would you give for a designer that's going into the clothing or fashion industry?
From a design perspective, you can be noticed from being outrageous, but the biggest opportunity from a design perspective is to create change and to create kind of, to redesign materials. With that comes aesthetic, with that comes system, with that comes success. The biggest opportunity from design, whether it's in fashion, you know, or any other aspect of design, the biggest opportunity is 100% within having a focus on change and responsible change.
It is exactly that opportunity, the opportunity to have a focus on responsible change from the outset, that designers like Alexander embrace so boldly. Starting at the design stage is really starting from below the ground. What I love about Alexander's work is he uses principles from his background in materials design and furniture design to bring a fresh lens onto fashion, like using illegal fishing nets to make shoes or using deadstock supplies to make stylish coats. My chat with Alexander Taylor made me keen to visit his studio and learn more about the innovative ways that he's inhabiting the design process. As a designer, he's weaving together the ideas of simplicity, of using as little material as possible, with the ideas of innovation, always trying to bring something new by remixing, remaking, rethinking, and reiterating. Alexander shared how important transparency is, how it helps people understand how much goes into the making of a product every single step of the way. Join us next time when we explore the importance of manufacturing and the supply chain in making the fashion world more responsible. A massive thank you to Hugo and the team at The Fisheries for hosting us. Thank you to Alexander for sharing his wisdom. And thank you to Dave Williams, Halle Husted, Pro Constantinou, Ruth Steen, and Ben Seary for making Good Good Great possible.